I'm prepared as a matter of faith to accept that life begins at the moment of conception. For me to impose that judgment on everyone else is inappropriate in a pluralistic society.
I can do my part doing things like working really, really hard to get a natural gas pipeline and pray about that also. I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that.
Barack Obama was a community organizer like Jesus. Pontius Pilate was a governor.
The God that Dawkins and Hitchens and Sam Harris reject is not the God of the seeker-sensitive, user-friendly theological model. That God doesn't worry them at all.
We say it all the time here at Issues Etc. We love our on-demand listeners. And the on-demand listenership is pretty healthy, not only from the statistics, but from the amount of feedback we get from listeners every week via email. We don't have time to respond to all the email in written form. It's just simply too daunting a task, but we try to respond to as much of it as we possibly can. And on Fridays, we like to respond to it right here on the air. That's what we're going to do here for the first half hour of Issues Etc. Then we'll do Issues Etc. blog of the week. That's Jeff's favorite part of the entire week. He gets to dance a little bit when the bump music plays. He just waits for it. On Thursday nights, he's laying in bed, a Twitter with anticipation, waiting for that bump music, first one on the blog to play for him. Maybe now that he's feeling better, back out from under the weather, we'll see a little dancing here in our studios at Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Friday, September the 19th. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or you can email us talkback at issuesetc.org. A little later in the program, after Issues Etc. blog of the week, it's Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We have four great cuts from this week's Issues Etc. program. We'll play them for you and let you pick which should be the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us in the second hour. She's written an article for the Wall Street Journal under the Houses of Worship department, Who's Irrational Now?, talking about how irreligion is irrational. Even though its major criticism of religion is that religion must be irrational. And then Greg Kokel will join us to respond to some arguments in favor of same-sex marriage. That's the last part of Issues Etc. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. We start with listener email. Jeff, what is up first?
All right, we go to Marysville, Washington, where Ron writes, "Before the heave-ho from LCMS Inc., I listened to a few shows when our pastor gave out the CDs. Since you've been back on the air, I have become an issues junkie. I enjoy the on-demand version the best. Why, Todd?
Because we love our on-demand listeners.
Since it's easy to keep track of where I left off, is what Ron says. One thought keeps coming back when I listen to your show. Did you have a Paul and Barnabas moment at the time of your firing, similar to when they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit? Acts 13:51-52. Thanks for the email in Marysville, Washington. Ron.
I think we're still in the middle of that moment, aren't we? I mean, as far as I can tell, shaking the dust from one's feet and rejoicing to be have been so graciously given the heave-ho from LCMS Inc. I still feel like I'm in the middle of that moment right now. We have been given new lease on life. Jeff always said that the best thing that could happen to Issues Etc. in its previous incarnation is if someone were stupid enough to cancel it. Someone was, and it has been the best thing for Issues Etc. Anything to add there, Jeff? I mean, you were as much a part of this thing as I was.
Well, just today, you know, is no ordinary day here at LPR.
Oh,
it's just a bevy of excitement and activity. Haven't you sensed, don't you feel the sense of what's going on? The electricity.
It's electric. Did you
Craig,
know that,
tell him, Craig's a Collinsville native. What is happening here in Collinsville, Illinois this weekend?
Oh. Yeah, at first I was like, what is he talking? It's Italian Fest.
How can you forget? You're like a Collinsville native.
I'm even going to go this evening, so. Yeah, but at first I was like, what is he talking about?
Well, I'm always like that when he's talking to me. The first few minutes of Jeff, anything Jeff says to me is a blank stare. I thought it was because yesterday was a six-month anniversary of our cancellation and our termination. That's why the air was electric for me.
Well, you see, you notice he said you live here. You're a native of Collinsville. Well, you know, it's always that way here in town. I know here when you live in Edwardsville, when you come to Collinsville, you get that feeling. But But it's always in the air here in town.
Not only that, Edwardsville plays Collinsville tonight here in Collinsville in football. I don't think Edwardsville's lost to Collinsville in football in like 2 decades.
There's a first time for everything.
Yeah, and Craig used to play for the Collinsville Cayhawk football program.
Did you?
Yes.
What did you play? What position did you play?
I was an offensive and defensive tackle.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have any pictures? How did you fit?
Yeah, I want pictures.
How did you fit that in with your yo-yo competitions?
It was tough. It was tough.
I'll tell you what, if Craig comes up with pictures of him playing in a football uniform with the purple and white, I will find some George Clooney haircut pictures to post on the website.
I want to see a picture of Craig in the Heisman Trophy pose. You know that pose that the Heisman Trophy is, the player in the Heisman Trophy is?
Well, I don't think I ever took any of those. If we did one of those, I'd have to be a modern-day picture. But
no, we don't want that. We don't want a modern-day picture of you in your jersey back then either.
Do you still have your jersey? And you don't? Oh, that's a shame.
Wouldn't be pretty, folks.
We could have given it away during Soundbite of the Week. That would have been great. What's up next?
Okay, Barbara in Arvada, Colorado. A question on the Incarnation. Let's see. It's a follow-up discussion on the second article, The Apostles' Creed, our interview Monday with Peter Bender. Would you elaborate on exactly what conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, means? I have always assumed that Mary is the actual genetic mother of Jesus, but a few months ago, the Institute for Creation Research published an article claiming that Jesus was actually a newly created human being with no genetic link to Mary at all, i.e., she just acted as a surrogate mother. Their rationale, as I recall, is that otherwise Jesus could not avoid inheriting a sin nature from her. To me, this seems like a denial of the seed of the woman as our Savior. How can a Savior who is really not part of Adam's race act as a substitute for Adam's descendants? Would you please clear this up in your next discussion on this subject?
Well, you know, I think we will. I'll bring that up.
Oh, why don't I just save that for Bender?
Well, Monday? No, that's all right. But let me give my answer here. First of all, I think that the emailer there has answered her own question. And very well, in fact. The problem with denying that Jesus is, in fact, the biological son of Mary, that he received his perfect human nature from his mother, and he receives his divine nature from his father God, and both natures constitute one Christ, 100% divine, 100% human. The fact that why we cannot say, for Scripture does not permit us to say, Scripture refers to Mary as Jesus' mother, not as Mary as Jesus' surrogate mother. And we're given no reason in Scripture to believe that somehow Jesus was a specially unique creation. Hey, Jeff, the Institute for Creation Research, are they the kind of the old earth quasi-theistic creation guys?
No. They're new earth. The only two creation ones we go to are Institute of Creation Research and Answers in Genesis.
Okay.
Ken Ham.
I cannot go along with that. I think Scripture requires us to confess that Mary is, in fact, the mother of Jesus Christ in every sense that a mother is a mother, and that the fatherhood is entirely of God's doing. Now, how is it that a sinful woman like Mary can give to her son, by way of this miraculous conception, a sinless human nature? That is a question that Scripture does not answer, but it also does not permit us to find alternate ways for Jesus ending up in the womb of Mary. It's very simple. The angel says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the power of the Most High will come upon you, and that which is conceived in your womb will be called holy, the Son of God, and it is, in fact, the miracle of the Incarnation, that we have a fully human descendant from Adam without a sinful nature Savior.
Most email we received this week, mostly comments thanking us, was on the subject of the interview with Pastor Todd Peppercorn on depression. Here's another one from Colorado, Stephen in Wheat Ridge. Just finished listening to the broadcast from the 17th. Thank you for the discussion of depression. I'm being treated via medication and have been for many years. Unfortunately, many still are afraid to seek help. My mother passed away a few years ago and suffered terribly from depression, but wouldn't seek professional assistance as that would admit a lack of faith on her part. She hid it well from those not in the family, and we were verboten to tell pastors. So that's kind of indicative of the email that we received this week on the interview on depression.
So a lot of people are responding basically to where we began in that conversation with Pastor Todd Peppercorn, which is it a sign of a lack of faith or a deficiency of faith that someone falls into depression? His answer was, of course, not. We've talked with other pastors about depression before, and they have said that in their cases, it is through depression that God has actually driven them to God's, to his own word, so that their faith might be strengthened through that hardship. So it's very sad to hear your mother's story, but I'm glad we were able to help and you know, bring some light, some clarity to that whole issue of depression.
Quickly before the break, Ken in Orlando, Florida, our roundtable discussion yesterday on the First Commandment. Two questions regarding this commandment. Is the prohibition against graven images absorbed into the First Commandment? Do Reformed Christians separate this prohibition into the Second Commandment in response to the medieval church's use of images?
That's a very good question. The answer to the second part simply is yes. Again, please don't write me about the term Reformed. We explained this in previous, email sessions. Other streams of the Reformation besides, not all of them, but besides the Lutheran stream of the Reformation, overreacted against the use of, the right use of images, by the way, in the Roman Church, in the medieval church, and forbid them. And they forbid them based upon the second part of the First Commandment, you shall have no graven images. When we come back from this break, I'll expand a little bit on that response, try and clarify what that commandment, where it fits in with the First Commandment. Stay tuned.
I don't care how much money I gotta spend, got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Joan Finch, Anna Gilbert, David Serafaline, Pastor Michael Matthews, Jennifer Preuss, Todd Rhodes, Lawrence Hart, Thomas Habits Jr., and Lauren Herberts. Thanks for your support.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Going through listener email, I'm in the middle of a response to a graven images question, and then we'll get to some more of your email. Concordia Publishing House has a great new resource. It's coming out very shortly, right at the turn of the month of October. It's called Treasury of Daily Prayer. It's one of those resources that only comes out. You know, you think about the great devotional and liturgical and worship resources produced by in the history of the church, and there are all sorts of them going way back to the very beginning of the church's history. You think about the high points there. I think Treasury of Daily Prayer will, in fact, be one of those high points in the worship and devotional life of the church. I don't think it's saying too much.
to say that. It is an all-in-one resource. It's for the family. It's for individual devotion. You simply have to see it to believe it. So you go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the cover of Treasury of Daily Prayer. It'll take you to where you can actually look inside the book online and see what it's all about. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask them about Treasury of Daily Prayer. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Treasury of Daily Prayer. In about 10 minutes, Issues Etc. blog of the week, and then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We have soundbites from Meg Meeker on what boys need, Pastor Peter Bender on why we have creeds and what they do, Bridget Gabriel on when, well, why it is she takes such a hard line against radical Islam, and then Dr. Rod Rosenblatt on how God does it all with no contribution from you, coming up here in about 10 minutes on Issues Etc. Okay, let me wrap up my graven images response. Here is how you sort out graven images in the First Commandment. Graven images, the prohibition against making any graven image, is a part of the commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, and must be viewed in that context, or you will misinterpret the graven images command. You see, God forbids them to make graven images as a part of forbidding them from having any other gods, not as kind of a blanket prohibition against making graven images of any kind. Here, and in fact, God even later commands the right use of images in the worship life of Israel. The same God who gave Moses the command, you shall make no graven images, about three, four chapters later, commands Moses to make images in the worship world of the Israelite people. He commands him to make the tabernacle, which is run through inside and out with images. Images of angels, images of birds, images of creatures, images of flowers and plants, images all over the place in the tabernacle. There's an example of the right use of images in worship of the true God, as opposed to what is really being forbidden by the graven images command, which is the use of images to worship false gods or other gods than the true God. It's that simple. Next email.
Gary in New Jersey, he writes, this has to do with pastoral counsel. I believe it should be emphasized that your listeners' primary pastoral care is from their pastor, and that they should not see your show as the last word on their questions. That is, they should discuss what they hear with their pastor. Not that I believe I am the be-all and end-all of spiritual wisdom, far from it. Yet the pastor is divinely called to be the primary pastoral caregiver for Christ's sheep in the pastor's charge. A specific example I have is from your segment on yoga last week. I believe Elliot Miller gave her a proper warning about Christians doing yoga, and he also should have directed the caller to talk with her pastor. That's from Gary in New Jersey.
Look, that's a very good piece of advice. We have always said, and we continue to say about Issues Etc., that Issues Etc. cannot be a substitute for your church, for Sunday morning, for hearing the preaching of God's Word and receiving the sacraments, for a regular relationship. And here I'm not talking about this, you know, walking up and giving your pastor a hug. I'm talking about the pastoral relationship that the pastor forges with you through his proclamation of God's Word in all its purity and through the sacraments, especially through confession and absolution. Can never substitute for that. This is a radio program. That's all it is. It's not a church. My listeners aren't my congregation, and I am not their pastor. In about 3 weeks, I will have parishioners, and I will be their pastor, and it will be at a congregation near here. That is an entirely different relationship than the one that I enjoy, and I do enjoy, with the listeners to this program. So it's a very good piece of advice. And you're right, as often as we can, we should remind our listeners to go talk to their pastors about with their questions and their comments, the same ones that they bring to us.
But don't be surprised if your pastor and his wife are doing yoga.
Yeah, that's true. Just be prepared. Just be prepared. When we say to you, you should go talk to your pastor about this yoga, just be prepared to get to the pastor's study and find him in the lotus position. Please do. Or to realize that it's his wife who teaches the Christian yoga class, and so he's not going to tell her to stop. Be prepared for that.
Two issues on email. First, again, you said it earlier, but we can't say enough. We simply cannot reply to all the email.
No.
Thank you. I can guarantee you send an email, at least one of us, if not both of us, read your email. But we apologize. We can't reply to all your email, and that's one of the reasons why we set aside the first half hour on Friday's show to read email. Another thing, please give us your city and state along with your first name in the email. We'd appreciate that. Just get an idea where email's coming from. Kevin writes, I was listening to the podcast of your discussion with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt on Christ Alone, where he said, if you're not hearing Christ in his saving priestly office, that is in his bleeding and dying for you, don't go to a church or find a church where you can find that, or find a church where you can find that. This is something I have struggled with for years, Kevin writes. I've lived in several different cities throughout the U.S. and experienced many different ELS Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations in each of these cities. It seems like the formula is the same everywhere I go. Large congregations are the ones with active small groups, Christian schools, fellowship opportunities, young families, etc. However, these congregations never really preach the gospel. In order to find a congregation where the gospel is being preached, one has to go to a small, possibly dying congregation where the vast majority of the members are much older. As a father of a young lady, what am I to do? I want and need to hear the gospel, but I would also like my child to be raised in a Christian, preferably Lutheran school, and I would like for our family to be able to have fellowship and interaction with other families in our age group. This is such a frustrating choice to have to make that sometimes it makes me want to give up on church altogether. We'd almost be better off just having family devotions at home and then joining the YMCA or some other secular community group for fellowship.
Well, if you were going to go to one of the big box churches that doesn't preach the gospel and has abandoned the very elements, the very basic elements of what it means to be a church, the pure preaching of the gospel and the right and regular administration of the sacraments, then you would be better off staying home and joining the Y. And you'd probably, you know, lose a few pounds too. I mean, for all of the benefits that it could offer to you. But I would urge you to continue, even if it is a small church. And I would warn against the term dying church. If there is a church where Christ is being preached in his saving office and where the sacraments are being administered according to Christ's institution, those are the marks of the church, by the way. That's how you know whether a church is alive or not. If there's a church, no matter how small, no matter how much smaller it's getting, and hopefully it isn't getting smaller, but if there's a church that does this, that church is alive. And I don't care if you add 50 members a week. If you're not preaching Christ and him crucified to the sinners who come to you every single week, you're not just a dying church. You're dead. You have no life in you. For the life of the church is Christ himself, the crucified and risen Savior. And if he's not being preached, such a church has no life in it. No matter how much the people dance around and prance around, no matter how lively the pastor may seem. So I would urge you against the term dead churches, but find a church, no matter how small or out of the way, where you can hear Christ and him crucified preached and flee like from the devil himself from churches where they offer you something other than Christ and him crucified, because that will rob you of your salvation in time.
Another option might be you usually can go to that school if you're not a member of the church, but pay a non-tuition
Oh, sure.
Right. And I mean, to me, that would be worth it.
Right. You would simply send your kids to school there and then take your kids to church someplace else. I mean, that's a good compromise.
Here's a great idea from Pastor David Daniel in Flint, Michigan, how he's using Issues Etc. with his youth. He says, I wanted to let you know something, Todd, something I've been doing with my youth group. Knowing that this is the podcast generation, I have begun using your podcast as stepping off points for discussion with my senior youth group. Using your on-demand section, we select topics that are of interest to the youth, and I attempt to develop questions for discussion. The youth are asked to go to issuesetc.org, listen to the podcast, then at our gathering we discuss. It has really proven to be quite popular. It also serves a twofold task. It provides further instruction to the youth on topics very, very real to them, and it gives them a reason to visit issuesetc.org, possibly seeing other topics that might interest them. In a suggestion, maybe one of the things that could happen is that listening pastors could help Issues Etc. by providing a discussion outline for particular podcasts that could then be posted on your website.
That's a great idea. Thank you very much for doing that, by the way. And, you know, one of the myths about Issues Etc. is that, this small cadre of kind of hardened, radical, ultra-Orthodox, ultra-conservative Lutherans take in Issues Etc. and enjoy it and regularly listen. It's simply not true. I think it makes a great catechetical resource. That's just a fancy way of saying a great way of instructing everyone, young and old, and it sounds like this pastor has figured out what this is all about. He gets what Issues Etc. is about, which is, I should say, something that our previous employers never got. They never understood that, and had they probably wouldn't have discarded it so cavalierly. When we come back from this break, we're going to be picking our Issues Etc. blog posts of the week, and then we're going to be going through some sound bites and allowing you to pick the Issues Etc. sound bite of the week. You can join us for the next hour and a half of the program, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. When we come back, Issues Etc. blog of the week and sound bite of the week, then hour two of Issues Etc. Stay tuned.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Catherine Porath, Celeste Lewis, Shay Lundquist, Ryan Eden, Beth Bender, Pastor Dan Grams, Rachel Soik, Pastor Gerald Gauthier, Carrie Wolfmiller, and Lisa Clark. Thanks for your support.
Historic liturgy. Cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Saul Rudnick is a colorful and gentle guy. He converted from the Jewish faith to Christianity late in life. The 72-year-old has been passionately pro-life since abortion was legalized. Saul's an accomplished violinist, but if you were to ask him, he'd tell you he's a fiddler. He looks like he could play the lead role in Fiddler on the Roof. This retired tool manufacturing technician fiddles in front of San Luis Obispo businesses and other public places in California. He's really good, as is evidenced from the tips he earns. Saul uses the money to reach as many people as he possibly can with the pro-life message. Find out more about Saul by visiting today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. Just think, maybe you have a creative talent to help save unborn babies from abortion.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.